Hello and welcome to the Oklahoma Today podcast, brought to you by Oklahoma Today, the state's official magazine. We are once again sharing all the best in Oklahoma with you. We've got a great guest coming up. Author and historian Jonita Mullins is going to talk to us a bit about what's going on in Muskogee. But first, we are introducing a new segment, the Question of the Week. We asked everybody out there on social media to give us their answers, and we'll talk about ours here in a bit. But the question is, what is your favorite bizarre Oklahoma fact? Nate Gunner, Editor-in-Chief.
The entire panhandle is my favorite bizarre Oklahoma fact. How it came to be, why it's there, why our state has this completely odd shape, and a lot of the things that went on there in the time that it took for all of that to occur. So, as you guys, I'm sure you guys know this, but listeners might not, that like it was originally part of Kansas and Texas and Mexico and just all these different places. And eventually it was part of nowhere because the Missouri Compromise told Texas, you can't own land above this latitude. If you want to keep your slaves, and Texas is like, we'll take slaves. Thanks. Great, by the way, neighbors to the south. Way to really, you know, show up. So that, and Beer City, and just, it's just an insane, the whole fact of its existence is absolutely insane to me. So that's mine.
All right. Carly Ibarra, managing editor, Bon Vivant. What's your favorite Oklahoma fact?
Well, I am kind of obsessed with Bellstar. I had a pug that was named Bellstar, and also Bellstar, the real lady, was really cool. But the thing that I think is so funny about her is she's like considered the queen of the outlaws. She may or may not have stolen a horse. And that is the one crime that they were sort of able to prove. And she never did anything else actually herself. She associated with some outlaws. She had some dealings with them. But she never held up a stagecoach or did basically any of the things that people say she did. She's still very interesting, but she's not really an outlaw.
I mean, I've never stolen a horse. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Bellstar might not have either. We don't know.
All right. Megan Rossman, photo editor, person with a 1,000-yard stare. What is your favorite Oklahoma bizarre fact?
Well, I still really enjoy that we have a state meal. I don't know that it's so bizarre that we do, but I think the fact that ours is so expansive and inclusive, it kind of seems like a lot of people couldn't decide on what they wanted the state meal to be, which if you know anything about state government processes, you're like, oh, hey, it makes a lot of sense why we have like barbecue pork, squash, biscuits, sausage and gravy, grits, corn, strawberries, chicken fried steak, pecan pie, black eyed peas. And the official beverage of our state is milk. So
it feels about good.
Yeah.
And yet, thanks to Mississippi, we've never been the fattest state.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mississippi.
We try our best, but, you know.
I think there's only one other state that has a state meal.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. I think we actually did a trivia question. All right. Here's mine. Apparently, the rest of the world thinks that it's illegal to take a bite of someone else's hamburger in Oklahoma.
It shouldn't be.
It always shows up on these weird laws lists. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, well, it's lawmakers who wanted to make sure that everybody was buying their own hamburger because they were taking care of their buddies. This, and I'm just like, okay. I worked with a reporter from KGOU on a story about this, and we could not find a hamburger law on the books. It might have been a municipal law somewhere, but I still see it pop up as one of Oklahoma's weird laws when it is, in fact, not a law. So go out there, eat, take a bite of somebody else's hamburger. They can't stop you unless they didn't want you to eat it, and then they might stop you.
Let me just say something about that real quick. Listeners, readers of Oklahoma Today, we love you very, very much. But you cross my chow zone, and you're going to pull back the bloody stump.
Yeah. Don't you dare take a bite of my hamburger.
You're not even really allowed to look at Megan's hamburger. It's like she's married to it until she eats it.
I start to get nervous if someone looks at my hamburger for too long.
Honestly, if you see someone staring at a hamburger for very long, I too would be nervous. It's just like, what are you trying to figure out? How does that fit in my mouth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do I get that into my munching cave? All right. So we asked online a bunch of people what their favorite Oklahoma bizarre facts were. Carl Unosh said, I love that the failed train robber Elmer McCurdy, who was buried in Guthrie, Oklahoma, inadvertently became the inspiration for Skeletor from the Masters of the Universe franchise. He also appeared in an episode of the $6 Million Man TV show.
That's amazing. You know, Carl Unosh is the guy who designed the Slumgullion cabin that's in the gardens at Philbrook Museum in Tulsa.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's that art. He's an awesome artist. Everybody go to Philbrook and check out the cabin that's in the gardens. It's awesome. And the guy who wrote that comment is the guy who created that.
Oh, man. Let's see. We also have another fun one from a Instagram user, Behan and Bach. In 1949, Yukon's Grady the Cow got stuck in a silo and made national news with people all over the U.S. offering suggestions on how to release her. I assume butter.
I've seen pictures of that.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Bill Farrar says,
how did they get the cow out?
I don't know.
Reader, you left us hanging there, man.
I think, Nate, I think this means that we need a feature on this.
It's still there.
Bill Farrar says that if you wear New York Jets paraphernalia in Ada, you could be jailed. I'm not sure why. I'm not even sure if that's true.
I don't think that's true.
But I thought it was weird enough.
I doubt the veracity of that fact, that so-called fact.
Jim Weaver says that Ardmore, Wynnewood, Paoli, and Wayne were all named after towns along the main line of the Pennsylvania Railroad outside of Philadelphia. And then Caroline gave us this one. How many natural lakes are there in Oklahoma?
Zero.
That's right. Every lake in Oklahoma is man-made, which leads into a fact from Christina Chow, who said that her dad always talked about how Oklahoma has lots of shoreline. I looked it up and he was right. 11,611 miles of shoreline, more than the combined Atlantic and Gulf non-tidal coasts. And then she also pointed out that Cimarron County is the only county in the U.S. that touches four states, Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, and Colorado.
All right. The only one.
Guys, thank you so much for sending in these wonderful facts. We will be posting another question of the week very soon, and we hope that you will chime in on that one as well. And joining us today on the podcast is a local author, historian, lady about town, Jonita Mullins. Welcome, Jonita.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, one thing we're smack dab in the middle of Black History Month, and we were very interested looking at your website, okieheritage.com, that you were doing you do a bunch of different tours, and two of them really caught our eye: the Bass Reeves Walking Tour, and then the Creek Freedman Caravan.
Right. I specifically chose to do a couple of tours this month that relate to Black history in Oklahoma. Some of the best known and little known history, if you will. Bass Reeves is famous in certain circles if you're into lawmen and outlaw and all of that. And beyond that, nobody's ever heard of him. And then, of course, a lot of people are shocked to learn that Creeks and other Native Americans had Black slaves. And so that's a little bit of Oklahoma history that a lot of people don't know.
Tell me a little bit about the research you do for these tours. You're I think a longtime Muskogee resident now, more than 20 years. Is that right?
That's right. I grew up in Haskell, a little bitty town named for the first governor of Oklahoma. Lived in Muskogee for about 25 years now, and I have been writing a column for the Muskogee Phoenix newspaper for the past 18 years. Which requires a lot of research. I do a history column every week, So I am constantly researching Oklahoma history. And I decided to put some of that research to use. So I started writing books and doing tours. People who have read my books will often contact me and say, where is this place that you wrote about? I'd like to go see that. And so I thought, you know, putting together a tour would be a great way to help people see where history happened.
Well, I got to get out there, especially that that Bass Reeves tour sounds really amazing.
It is amazing. I don't know that it's going to happen this Saturday, though. I have no reservations. I think it's going to be too cold for anybody, so I'll have to reschedule that.
We did have kind of a bit of unfortunate weather that kind of dropped on us here. But Jonita, just for people who don't know, who are listening and wondering who Bass Reeves is, can you give us just a really quick rundown on who he was and what he was all about, and maybe some of the places that tour will visit?
Yes, he was one of the frontier's first African-American lawmen. He was a former slave, never got to receive an education, so he was illiterate. But he was chosen by Judge Isaac Parker, the well-known hanging judge in Fort Smith, as one of almost 200 deputy marshals that he hired through the years, his years on the bench. And Bass Reeves became one of the best marshals to ever serve on the frontier. He's considered right up there with some of the really well-known lawmen. He made over 3,000 arrests in his 32-year career. Shot 14 men in the line of duty, always in self-defense, and he was just feared. He was very much a feared marshal and very well known in his day, but because he was Black, you know, his story never really got told. Certainly Hollywood never bothered to tell it, and so he's kind of been rediscovered just in the last few years, and people are really starting to get interested in him. Some people have claimed he was the real Lone Ranger or the inspiration for the Lone Ranger character. And so there's a growing interest in him. And we visit sites around Muskogee because he spent the last 10 years of his career in Muskogee. So a lot of it will relate to where he walked his beat when he was a Muskogee police officer, where he had some of his shootouts, where he lived, where he worked at the courthouse, those kinds of sites. So a lot of it, because it's a walking tour, is going to be in the downtown area of Muskogee.
And you said that he arrested 300 people during his career.
3,000.
Oh, wow. One of those.
Including.
One of those was his son, right?
Yes. He arrested his own son who had killed his wife in a fit of jealousy. No other marshal wanted to arrest Bass's son out of respect for him. And so when he learned that the warrant had been issued, he went to the marshal, Leo Bennett, said, give me the writ. I will go. I will get him and I will bring him in. And he did that and then stood by him as he went through his trials. So that had to have been one of the toughest things that he ever had to do, was to arrest his own son.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, how has this not been a movie?
Exactly. His life would make a great movie. And everybody says that when they hear it. But, you know, Hollywood has other agendas, and so it hasn't happened yet. Morgan Freeman for years wanted to do one, wanted to portray Bass himself, and just couldn't get the funding, couldn't put it together. And that's been a big part of the reason. It's going to be a blockbuster, but it takes money to do that. And so,
you know, I think one thing that really caught my eye about the Yoki Heritage site and all the tours that you're doing is that I don't think a lot of people who are living in Oklahoma recognize how much history happened right where they are. And for all those people who don't maybe think about Muskogee all that often, to see how much it plays a part in various historical tales, I think that's fascinating.
Yes, it was a significant city in Indian Territory history, for sure. It was the unofficial capital. The federal government placed all of its agencies in Muskogee. And so it was very significant to what was happening, particularly with the five tribes. And then you have right across the river from Muskogee, you have Fort Gibson, which is also hugely important in Oklahoma's early history. Before statehood, of course, the fort was, you know, the center of so much that happened with relation to the Civil War and the Native American history and military history and lawman and outlaw history. So it's all focused right here. In fact, Art Burton, the author of the biography on Bass Reeves, says that Muskogee should be considered the epicenter of the Wild West. More federal marshals were killed within a 50-mile radius of Muskogee than any other site or location in the American West.
I think you just wrote Muskogee's new tourism slogan.
The epicenter of the Wild West, yes, indeed.
One thing that I love that I learned about Muskogee early on in my days at Oklahoma Today, I wrote a story about how to research your ancestry, how to do your genealogy. And one of the places I kept being told, oh, you have to go to the Muskogee Public Library. You have to, like, that's a great place to do historical research.
Yes, it is. And they are actually a very big tourism draw for Muskogee because of that genealogy. They have an excellent genealogy department. All of the Dawes rolls. Of course, Muskogee's newspaper, the Phoenix, is the oldest newspaper in Oklahoma that's continuously publishing. So they've got all of those issues. Yes, it's a great resource for anyone who's doing research on family.
I love that. I just think Muskogee needs to lean into this and just be like, we are the place for history and genealogy and come visit. Because it's such a cool place. Oklahoma Music Hall of Fame.
Yes.
It's another awesome thing that's there in your city. So, before I get totally just, I could just sit here and love on Muskogee for the next hour and a half and no one could stop me. Like I told you before we started recording, I've spent part of my morning watching your YouTube videos that you started during pandemic. Would you talk a little bit about kind of how that started and what some of that's been like?
Okay. Well, I had long wanted to do my history mysteries because, as we've said, so much of our history sort of have to dig around to find it. And so I had long wanted to do it and found myself without work during the pandemic. All my speaking engagements canceled, all the heritage events are canceled. And so yeah. I said, well, you know, you've got the time, you better do it. And so I got out and started visiting various places and posing a question to my viewers: do you know where I am? Do you know what happened here? Do you know why this is significant? And then I always give the answer at the end. But I let people pause the video and ponder, you know, where would this be or what happened here? And it's been a lot of fun, and everybody who's seen them has seemed to enjoy them. I've got some shot that I need to edit and get put back up. I haven't done much outdoor work in the last few months, but yeah, I need to get back to that. They've been a lot of fun.
Well, and we're going to throw a link up to your video page, your history mystery page on Okie Heritage on our website and to go along with this podcast. So anybody listening, you can go and check out the info on this podcast and go watch some of those videos yourself because they really are dynamite.
Thank you. I appreciate you doing that.
Oh, of course.
Donita, has anybody ever told you that you have a very relaxing voice to listen to?
You do. Yes.
Yeah. If you just,
I have been told I have a good voice. Yes. I've been told that it's a calm voice and it can't get very loud. I usually have to, if I'm going to be speaking anywhere, I have to have the microphone, but it's, you know, people have complimented the voice. So.
We've started posing a question to our listeners on the podcast. It's like, what is it, Greg, this week? You wrote it and it's really, I don't want to ruin it by trying to quote you directly.
No, it is, what is your favorite bizarre Oklahoma fact?
And then Jonita, I want to add to that also what your favorite bizarre Oklahoma fact, but also your bizarre Muskogee fact.
Okay. Do I have some time to ponder this, or are you going to make me answer it right away?
No, you can keep thinking about that. Just put that one in the back of your mind.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit. I'd love to hear more about your books because not only have you collected some of what you've written for the Muskogee Phoenix into a couple of books, but you also have some historical fiction books.
Yes. Writing a novel was on my bucket list, something I always wanted to do, and was searching for a while for a topic. Didn't know exactly which Oklahoma history fact I wanted to focus on. I was asked to do a speech on prominent Oklahoma women. And in doing the research for that, I discovered the first school teacher in Oklahoma. Who knows who the first school teacher in Oklahoma was?
Is it Alice Robertson?
No. Good answer, but no, it was, sure, her name was Clarissa Johnson. She came in 1820 from Connecticut and taught at an Osage mission. This was before the Trail of Tears. This is one of the earliest recorded history that we have. The earliest graves that are marked were associated with this mission that she taught at, and nobody's heard of her. So I thought, oh, there's my story. I can write that. Oklahoma Historical Society has a lot of historical documents related to it. And so I had good resources that I could work from. And I thought it would just be one novel, but her story was so big, it turned into three novels and it became a series called The Missions of Indian Territory. And so I'm now working on the third book in my second series, which is called The Neosho District. So I continued some of the same characters from the first series into the second series and continuing to just follow a chronological order of Oklahoma history. And I'm up to now talking about the early Trail of Tears, when the removals of the five tribes from the south or eastern states into Oklahoma. So that's the story that I'm writing right now.
Man, so keeping with that, are you thinking about doing another trilogy afterwards? Or are you gonna do the full Star Wars?
I probably will do. In fact, you know, I could do some prequels. That would be great, wouldn't
it? There you go.
I've thought about doing something on the forts. We have a lot of frontier forts that have great history associated with them. I could do something on the development of maybe a town like Muskogee or Tulsa or Oklahoma City. Tell some of the stories of those first settlers who created those towns. There's just endless possibilities for trilogies that I might go to.
Oh man. Well, I just want to thank you really for taking some time and talking with us. This has been a real delight, and I honestly, as soon as we can, I'd love to have you back again. Maybe when the next book is coming out, we can chat a little bit more. That'd be really great. Okay, now I know Nate wants to know, have you come up with a bizarre Muskogee fact?
Bizarre facts. Okay, you know, when you mentioned Robert Reed, when you first said the name, I was thinking of Mike Brady. Did you know he's from Muskogee?
I did not.
Yes, his name wasn't Robert Reed when he grew up in Muskogee, but yes, he grew up in Muskogee. Born out of Hollywood. So okay. That's a little fun fact about Muskogee.
Fun facts. I love that. That's a good one.
Well, yeah. Jonita Mullins, thank you so, so much for joining us. If you want to know more, visit okieheritage.com. There's links to where you can buy books, links to your videos. You can sign up for tours, all sorts of stuff. And really, if you want to learn more about Oklahoma history and especially about Muskogee's really pivotal place in Oklahoma history, that is your number one resource. So,
absolutely.
Greg, I sure appreciate you letting me be on and talk about my tours and my passion of Oklahoma history. Nothing beats Oklahoma history.
All right.
It's the craziest, right?
What's that?
It's the craziest history of any state, in my opinion.
Yes, it's the most unique. No other state was settled by removals, Indian removals, or land rights. We just got that uniqueness that no other state can claim.
All right. Well, thank you again, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a really great interview, and I am, I think it's time for one of our other favorite things to do, which is trying to crack each other up with our weekly events. I'm going to start this time. I spun the wheel and I chose me. And now a brief commercial message from the Wood Council. Are you tired of lazy wood? It just sits there being part of a tree, or worse, as a do-nothing log. Break your wood out of its humdrum daily routine with wood turning. Broken Bow High School's Carpentry Shop is holding a free class series called Beginning Wood Turning, a Foundational Course. Students will learn safety procedures and get hands-on wood experience over six classes, including the use of a lathe. Classes are February 16th, 18th, 23rd, 25th, and March 2nd and 4th at Broken Bow High School's Carpentry Shop. Call 580-494-6497 or visit forestry.ok.gov/beginning-woodturning. For more info.
Like fun. It does. I love the wood turning demonstrations at Beavers Bend State Park. They're so much fun to watch. All right, listen, love it or hate it, you can't deny that I love the state fair. I love the Wisconsin fried cheese. I love the fried Snickers. I love the fried looking at the new cars. And I especially love the fried people watching. But my favorite part, and I'm actually dead serious about this, is all the kid stuff. Like the kids' art projects, the poster board projects, but I really, really love the junior livestock show. And since the fair is not for 8 months, provided it happens at all this year, knock on wood, because it's a long time until the fair, you can go to the Stevens County Junior Livestock Show at the Stevens County Fair and Expo Center in Duncan. And that is February 15th through 18th. It's a four-day event featuring Oklahoma youngins exhibiting their pigs, sheep, goats, and cattle to compete for ribbons and glory, not to mention that there's also going to be competitions in farm project design. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds awesome. Floral design, which is very cool, and more. So go to Duncan and cheer on some kids. Y'all, it's free. Call 580-255-0516 or visit StevensCountyOK.com to learn more.
Who doesn't love a good mashup, whether it's of the monster, potato, or musical variety? The people behind the Davis Waldorf Performing Arts Series in Chickasha certainly do. Their presentation of Shakespeare and jazz combines the energy of jazz with the famous Bard's Tales, all helmed by pianist and composer Daniel Kelly. Though this online event is free, you have to subscribe online to get an e-vite, so you should do that. Call 405-574-1310 for more information and or visit usao.edu to register for the event.
Well, if I know anything about alcohol, it is that it makes brains slow. So, in the interest of good entertainment, the Oklahoma City Midtown Rotary Virtual Spelling Bee's $50 entry fee includes goodie bags with plenty of beer for participants. On February 19th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., they'll face off in an unusually exciting Zoom meeting to put their skills and sobriety to the test. Even if you're not one of the spelling combatants, you can still kick back with any beverage of your choice. It doesn't have to be booze. And behold the battle of slurred words unfold on your monitor. To get in on the fun, visit midtownrotary.org.
I especially love the intro to that, if I know anything about alcohol.
Which I don't.
Oh, yeah. No, not Megan. Not Megan.
I just loved the spelling combatants, I think was my favorite part. Like, I love, yeah, the idea of a bee doesn't really usually contain combatants, so I like that.
Yeah, and it's the virtual spelling B and then R in parentheses.
I believe they call it the spelling beer.
Yeah, but I wasn't sure how to say that, so I was like, look, everyone knows what a spelling B is, so we'll just stick with that.
No one's gonna care how you say it after, you know, the event gets going.
That's right. Yeah. You call it whatever you want, it's a spelling beer. All right, Predator, Predator 2, Alien versus Predator, Aliens versus Predator Requiem, Predators, The Predator. Literally none of these critically acclaimed pieces of cinema have anything to do with the fourth annual Cache Valley Predator Hunt, so please stop smearing mud all over your bodies unless that's just your thing. Instead, this event features prizes for top hunters in, quote, Big Dog, Big Cat, Big Hog, and my personal favorite, Mystery Critter categories, and kicks off with a chili supper at the Cotton County Expo Center in Walters on February 19th. Go to facebook.com/cashvalley530 or email cashvalley530@gmail.com to learn more.
I'm sorry. Mystery Critter. We killed it so good we don't even know what it is.
That was a hunting competition?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Did they tell you what the chili is made out of, though?
It's mystery. It's last year's mystery critters.
Cool.
Wow, that scares me a little.
Oh, it'll be sounds like fun. You know what doesn't sound like fun to me is riding two-wheeled vehicles that have motors. Like even I have a bike and I cycle a lot, but even that's kind of scary. But I did once ride a two-wheeled motorized vehicle when my Irish friend Jamie let me take his Vespa on a spin around the block in the summer of 2000. I got 300 feet and I turned the Vespa over on its side, gouging some truly gnarly gashes down that lovely red paint job. That experience is almost drinking age years old, and I still feel so bad and so guilty that I've never again had any desire to mount any kind of two-wheeled motorized conveyance ever again. So if like me, you like to watch these kinds of things from the stands and not the actual seat of the thing that's moving, a good place to do so is Tulsa Expo Square this Friday and Saturday, February 19th and 20th, where the Hoosier Arena Cross Nationals will feature motorized bikes jumping as high as 60 feet in the air and racers competing for cash prizes on everything from 450cc fire-breathing MX bikes to a kid's race on 50cc machines. It sounds a little bit like Mario Kart. The action starts off with a live music and laser light show on Friday night that's absolutely sure to get your heart pumping for some high-octane action. Tickets are cheaper in advance. They are a range of prices, but they're cheaper in advance. So call 918-342-5357 or visit HoosierArenaCross.com to get yours now. And that's Hoosier like the Indiana-based basketball team, not Hoosier like your. Yeah.
Also, I'm sure all participants are required to leave any blue shells at home because that's just cheating.
I got that reference. So how do you guys know when you're properly caffeinated?
When you guys when tell me that I'm properly caffeinated and I'm not allowed to have any more.
Okay, well, personally for me, I like to drink until I feel like my blood is made of bees. If you're like me, or even if you have a healthy relationship with coffee, the Caffeine Crawl Tulsa is the best part of waking up on February 20th. There are four routes to choose from, but each path takes you to five different locations offering hot drinks and sweet eats. Tickets are $30 to $35 a piece, and make sure to register early because when I went online and looked before, one of the routes was already sold out. So sounds like it's going to be a pretty popular event. So call 816-679-2474 or visit caffeinecrawl.com for more details.
Well, if you like kids and horses, then prepare for their powers to combine in a dazzling display of sportsmanship, skill, and raw power at the Little Britches Rodeo in Duncan. From February 20th to the 21st, the Stevens County Fair and Expo Center will be transformed into a coliseum of beasts and youth, glory and grit, victory and defeat, while the crowds cheer on these cowboys and cowgirls as they lasso their way to higher planes of athletic prowess and personal growth. For more information, call 580-255-3231.
I'm sorry, the beginning of your event definitely sounded like they were making centaurs.
Definitely did sound like that. But speaking of lady outlaws, which came up earlier, that rodeo is named for a famous lady outlaw by the name of Little Britches.
Oh.
And the reason she was called Little Britches is because she was a child when she was running around Indian territory with her friend Cattle Annie. And just causing...
Not because she liked khaki shorts?
I don't think they had khaki shorts back then.
Well, that makes more sense because that event, it is for people ages 5 to 19. And I was like, well, those britches aren't necessarily so little.
Metaphorically,
I was being very
little. They are little britches.
Always with metaphorical britches. Well, thank you for stopping by the Oklahoma Today podcast. Yeah. We sure think you're swell. Visit us anytime online at oklahomatoday.com and pick up our magazines on newsstands across the state. Send us questions or comments or coupons for one free chore to oktpod@travelok.com. And we will talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Now you boys best keep riding, you hear? This town ain't big enough for the two of us.